We're talking about conservation is becoming a very important part of our sustentation and also federal programs in terms of farm bills. There are some new programs and some revised programs that they're going to talk to us about. Jimmy is a producer from Leary, Georgia, and he's also coming by Robbie Minnick, who's part of our National Cotton Council staff in Washington, to explain these programs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wally, I don't know where you made that picture, but I hope it wasn't in Georgia. Alabama? Thank you, Jay, for the opportunity to relate my views and that of the National Cotton Council on the importance of conservation practices. As a producer, conservation practices are an integral part of my farming operation. Therefore, it's important that cotton farmers have a good understanding of how to fully participate in the various conservation programs contained in the 2008 Farm Bill. The Council's Conservation Task Force that I chair is developing a strategic plan to fully educate our membership on the importance of these programs and how better to take advantage of them. On a personal note, I recently enrolled in the Conservation Stewardship Program. It's a long process, but it's worth it. I think it's a program that can benefit producers by rewarding them for accomplished conservation programs and by providing enticements for enhanced practices. There are numerous other programs that can benefit producers if they are implemented fairly and fully understood. It's becoming increasingly clear to the National Cotton Council that conservation programs will have increased significance in the national policy debate. While current programs are voluntary, which is in line with our policy, such may not always be the case. Congress is always looking for ways for alternative delivery systems for support, and conservation programs will certainly be part of that debate. However, the immediate issue is that these programs are now available and cotton producers need to learn how to take advantage of these programs. Producers need to develop the same relationship with the NRCS officials that they share with the FSA officials. I hear a lot of people have a hard time with the NRCS offices. In my situation, I have a great office and I have a great relationship with them and I can work with them easy. I hope you push for this and try to get to know your NRCS officials better. The Council's goal is to work with Congress and the USDA to ensure that conservation programs have feasible benefits and eligibility provisions that allow participation by commercial size operations. Now I would like to ask Robbie Minnick, the Council's Senior Government Affairs Representative, to come to the podium to provide you with a brief overview of the conservation programs provided in the 2008 Farm Bill. I'll also call your attention to the conservation workshop this afternoon, where you can get more in-depth information on these programs, as well as helpful tips on how to enhance your participation. Robbie?
Thank you, Jimmy. As Jimmy said, the conservation programs are having a larger and larger footprint on the Farm Bill as we go through it. The 2002 Farm Bill saw the highest increase in conservation funding ever. The 2008 Farm Bill expanded on that further. If you look at a Congressional Budget Office score of conservation programs in the 2008 Farm Bill over a 10-year period, you're looking at over $55 billion in conservation funding. What I'd like to do today is give you a brief overview of some of the major programs that are used across the Cotton Belt. The Environmental Qualities Incentives Program, or EQIP, the new Conservation Stewardship Program, or CSP, Conservation Reserve Program, and the Wetlands Reserve Program. EQIP, is, as all the conservation programs are, is voluntary. It's a cost share program of up to 75%. It supports structural and management practices, so you're looking at irrigation systems, really hands-on things on your operation. It's very well funded. The EQIP gets funding over $1 billion a year. Applications are ranked and scored based on your environmental services, so depending upon what you're doing, depending upon where you get ranked. Part of that with EQIP is there's always a backlog. It's a very well-funded program, as I mentioned, but it's a very, very popular program. It's the most popular program within the conservation arsenal that USDA has. There are some ways, and we'll talk about this more in depth this afternoon at the workshop, but there are some other programs out there where maybe you can get around that backlog by doing the same project but through a different conservation program. So this afternoon we'll look at some ways to improve your odds and go more in depth in these programs. There is a payment limitation in EQIP that was reduced in the last farm bill from $450,000 to $300,000, but the Secretary has the opportunity to waive that. The Conservation Stewardship Program is a new program. We recently had the Conservation Security Program in the 02 bill. Now we have the Stewardship Program. It encourages producers to address resource concerns in a comprehensive manner. You're looking at a whole farm conservation program here. You're installing and adopting additional conservation activities, but you're also improving, maintaining, and managing your existing activities. So this program is looking at what you're doing now and what you're willing to do in the future. The new CSP shifts decision-making to the state. The National Office allocates acres for the states to manage, and then the states focus on resource concerns identified as a priority in that state or areas of the state. So maybe if you're in Tennessee, West Tennessee has a different resource concern than East Tennessee. And then the program competitively ranks peers who face similar resource challenges. So you've got cropland, rangeland, pasture land. So you're in those different categories, but you're also looking at those resources concern that you face as an individual producer. An eligible applicant must be in the Farm Service Agency records, show documented control of the land for the term of the contract, which is a 5-year contract, be compliant with highly erodible land and wetlands conservation, meet the adjusted gross income test, and then obviously supply that information to USDA. As far as eligible land, pretty much any private working agricultural land is available. Indian land, non-industrial private forest land, which is new to the 02 bill. Ineligible land is land in CRP, the old CSP, grasslands reserve program, or the wetlands reserve program. Public land is not eligible. Land that's recently been broken out is not eligible. And then land that's not in production or has been developed isn't eligible. As far as the servicing model for the Conservation Stewardship Program, basically you're getting paid for previous fiscal year activities. This allows field verification prior to obligation and payment. So basically you're looking as from a producer standpoint at doing a self-screening, doing a resource inventory of what you're doing now, scheduling activities, what you're going to do in the future and what you're willing to do. This goes into a computer system, you get ranked, you get pre-approved, NRCS comes back out, field verifies, then they obligate. You install the new practices, maintain your old practices, and then the next fiscal year you would receive a payment for that based on your score. Again, I mentioned the computer model the computer system that they're using. It's called the Conservation Measurement Tool. That's where you put in what you've been doing, you put in what you're willing to do, that gives you a number. Based on that number, that gives you a rank, and that gives you a dollar per acre that you could receive under the CSP program. Once CSP is fully implemented and up and running, at the end of this farm bill, it will be the largest conservation program that NRCS runs. As far as payment limitations for the CSP program, you're looking at $40,000 during any fiscal year, or $200,000 for any 5-year period. The Conservation Reserve Program, we're all familiar, it's the old standby that has been very popular in the Cotton Belt. The 2008 statute limited the CRP program to 32 million acres. Back in June of last year, there were 33.7 million acres enrolled, 3.5 million acres expired. We got just below that 32 million acres. Over the next few years, millions of acres will be expiring, and so that's one of the things we'll be looking at to see how those lands enroll, what we do with those lands, what becomes of them. But the CRP program has been a very important program and will continue to be. We'll also continue to focus on continuous enrollments within CRP. This really gives producers an opportunity to use CRP as part of a whole farm strategy. The WRP program, We reestablished the baseline in the last Farm Bill at $1.3 billion, increased enrollment to just over 3 million acres. That's a big increase because back in 2008, there was only about 2 million acres in WRP. So we've got a real opportunity to see some increased acres in WRP over the next few years. The availability is there. And also in the last Farm Bill, we reverted the appraisal process back to what was used prior to 2007, which was the newer appraisal process was a big problem for a lot of producers. All in all, the conservation programs are out there. They're available, and hopefully you'll join us this afternoon for the conservation workshop to really dig in depth on what some of these programs do and are available to producers. That is the end of my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.